Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
It's 9:30. Do you know what time it is? It's time for the Coffee Break Chat on WICC.
And it's also time to talk about the summer. We have kids home from school. We have college students who have returned home. And people are going to be going to the beach or the movies. And a lot of times you're carrying cash or you have to take cash out. And that's why for this week we're doing Crime on the Mind, Being Safe with ATMs. Good morning, Lieutenant Jim Perez. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, we're doing just fine. Thank you so much. So first of all, let's talk about it. Even though debit cards and credit cards seem to be very popular, more and more places are actually taking cash. If you go to a farmer's market or you're at the beach trying to buy from the concession stands. And I would think that the ATM is a perfect spot, a perfect target, if you will, to get robbed, I would think.
You know, it can be. And let me just start out by saying that there are over a million ATM machines worldwide. But I will tell you this, that one of the things you can do and you should do is keep security in mind and have a security consciousness every single time you walk to an ATM machine. First of all, I try to avoid ATM machines that are freestanding, so those that are in private grocery stores and things like that. I try to avoid those because those are usually managed by an independent person, not necessarily a financial institution. I prefer going to a bank or a pharmacy ATM. And even those, you need to be careful. We had a bank in town last year that had an issue where these bands of thieves were coming from outside of the area, and they were placing instruments on the machines that mimic bank machines, and they were literally recording your card information. Now, here's the thing with that. An ATM machine, for all intents and purposes, are manufactured in one piece. So if you go to an ATM machine and you start seeing loose parts, glue marks, anything like that, just avoid the machine. Go in and speak to a representative of the bank, and if the bank is closed, just simply go somewhere else. But I wouldn't hesitate to call the police and report it. We can always go down there and check it out. But there are many, unfortunately, with technology advancing, there are many, many thieves that have become astute at literally trying to get around the system. And one of them, believe it or not, which is even scarier, is they've actually attacked gasoline stations, especially self-serve stations, where they can actually utilize a little skimmer machine inside the gas pumps, and it can record up to 1,000 transactions. And then they come back 24 hours later and they removed it. There have been cases of 24-hour pharmacies where people will walk in. One will keep the manager or the store, which generally overnight it's one person or two. They'll keep them busy while the other person replaces the point-of-sale machine, which is really the machine that you put your card into at the register. And they've switched them out, only to come back 24 hours and get it back. And the next thing you know, they end up with up to 1,000 different transactions, credit card numbers, date of birth, phone numbers, names. It's really terrible. But you have to be careful and you have to take precautions.
And once your identity is stolen, it's not easy to get that back. It's not easy for that to go away. Sometimes even when you think it's been fixed, a couple of months or a couple of years later, it still comes back to haunt you. Isn't that right?
That's correct. It's almost like the do not call registry. You know, you can sign up, but then you got to do it again 2 years from now because they keep coming on. Same thing with ID theft. Unfortunately, there is a little bit of red tape involved. If you do become a victim, you have to first file a local police report. Then you have to file with the Federal Trade Commission. Then you have to let all three credit bureaus know. And by the way, ID theft is such a big issue that today the federal government mandates that all three credit bureaus, Experian, Equifax, TransUnion, they have to give you, by law, they have to give you one free credit report a year. So what I tell people is stagger them. Go to each company and request a report every 3 or 4 months. That way throughout the year you can kind of monitor your credit. You would be shocked. And it's funny, I encourage everyone to go out and get a credit bureau report because you will be shocked if you haven't done that you'll find information that is totally irrelevant or has nothing to do with you. And that's because you become a victim of ID theft and you might not know it for years because there are people that open up cell phone accounts, they open up gas company accounts, utility accounts in your name, and they'll pay it because they otherwise don't have credit. The problem is when they become arrested or they pass away or something like that, few months later, you're getting a collection notice and you're wondering why, and come to find out they've been riding off your back for the last 2-3 years.
Wow.
Wow.
That's terrifying. Geez,
that is terrifying. Yeah. I never thought of it that way. Wow.
Sorry, but it's identity theft and crime prevention in general is a huge topic, and there are many, many subjects within it and things that you should be careful of. And it's not making people paranoid. It's just making them informed, educated, and creating a security consciousness and a security foundation. That's what we do every Monday here on WICC.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that's frightening stuff. When did we become so complacent? And when I say complacent, I know I always say this, I'm a relic from another time. But when you physically go to the bank and you get a withdrawal slip, give it to the person behind there, the teller, and you get your $50 or $100, isn't that still the safest way to take money out of the bank?
Yeah, it certainly is. And, with technology can be wondrous, and it can also be very terrifying. And unfortunately, the balance is there. But you're right. Coming in and doing transactions in person is really the best way. Unfortunately, we have a whole society that's now growing up doing everything but face-to-face contact. And so as technology gets more advanced, it's going to become simpler. I will tell you this, though. The financial institutions that regulate and actually carry out the safety measures, they are continually catching up. So they're constantly, now they're getting into keep walking, which is a whole other technology that helps to if I don't make things even scarier for you, to make it more safe, and I'll explain that. A credit card used to have just a strip in the back, a black strip. Behind that black strip, you will find your name, address, date of birth, social security number, all the information that is you. That's been compromised. So they turn now to a chip used in Europe for many years, and they started using it here a few years back. So now you have a chip. Unfortunately, now they have this thing called shimming, where they actually take a small device, it's almost like a small card, and they put it into the card reader. It's unnoticed to the naked eye. But yet, when you put your chip in there, it mimics as if your chip is transacting with the financial institution when it's actually putting all the information on a card. And then they just come back later on and take it. So you have to be very keen and have great observation skills to be able to overcome these barriers. And that's why the financial institutions are constantly catching up, and they're doing that today.
Here with Crime on the Mind, we were talking about ATM safety and identity theft. And you had mentioned, Jim, just a couple of minutes ago, that there's a way people can go and check their credit scores and check and make sure that they are not actually victims to theft. So can you talk to us about how we can make sure that we're not being duped or that somebody's been riding our coattails this whole time?
Sure. Every single person has the right under federal law to receive one free credit report from all three bureaus. So you have Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. These are the three keepers of everything about you with respect to financial transactions and things like that. It's amazing because if you get one of these reports, you will see old jobs you worked at from years ago, old home addresses. It's really amazing. It's almost like a history of you. But within that, and the most important part of checking it out is not for nostalgia, but for the very relevant information it gives you on your financial condition. And unfortunately, because of ID theft, it's such a huge problem today. You've heard of many major institutions that have taken part in this, not willingly, of course. But there's TJ Maxx, there was People's Bank, there was a whole bunch of different companies that have been compromised in one way or another. Your information's out there, and the best way to combat it is to become a small target. You do that by being careful on the streets, but more importantly, by checking your credit reports. So by going to one of these three credit bureaus, you will literally get a snapshot of your financial situation, and every single thing or every single card or every single loan that's associated with you. And unfortunately, you will find some errors. Sometimes the errors will just be a misrepresentation of a previous loan, but oftentimes it's something completely different. It's someone else using your identity to open up accounts in your name, and you can become, liable for those charges if they're not reported. So it's important that you check your credit reports, go to the three credit bureaus, you can find them online, and ask that you might have to give your name and date of birth, so you do have to give biographical information to them, but that's okay. But once you do that, you will start receiving these reports. And when you do, scrutinize them carefully, because in them, some people will unfortunately find erroneous information. And then that's when you need to start to do the red tape work, which is going through the police department and getting a report, then following up with the credit bureau, and even contacting the Federal Trade Commission, who regulates and looks after all these scams.
Jim, I could talk to you about this for a very long time. Tony and I definitely could. But we did want to switch gears really quickly, because one of our top stories this morning actually is right out of Bridgeport, where an Uber driver was stabbed in the hand over the weekend and actually was in critical condition. He's stable this morning. But Tony and I got to talking a couple hours ago on the show about just safety with Uber or Lyft, whether you're a passenger or a driver. We've seen both sides who have gotten hurt or killed or disappear. And I guess from your professional opinion, we have a lot of, like I said, we have a lot of families here in our listening area. Kids are off from school or they're home from college. And ride-sharing companies have become very, very popular, understandably so. But how can we make sure our kids are safe once they get into one of those cars?
Well, you know, there are several things that you can do. And this is where technology becomes wondrous and you can actually use it to your advantage. But first and foremost, the first thing you should do is, if you're sitting inside an Uber or a Lyft or any kind of ride-sharing company like that, now understand they're very different from traditional companies like taxi companies. Taxi cab drivers, bus drivers, they all get, ongoing training. They're actually an employee of an actual real company, of where they have responsibilities. They have to, show up and be accountable. Ride sharing is a little bit different. Anyone can simply ride. So anyone that has the right to get a license and to get a proper insurance and registration can literally become a driver. These companies do background checks, but unfortunately, there have still been many incidents that have taken place. And there are people that, for some reason, they just want to victimize others. But one of the things you can do is, if you're getting into a car, first and foremost, you have the right to question that person and ask for their name. Do not assume, if you know their name ahead of time, to mention their name. Ask open-ended questions where they have to talk to you, not just give yes or no answers. So you could ask them, what's your name? And if they give you the name and on the ride-sharing app you see that the name matches, follow up by making sure the registration is the same, the description of the vehicle is the same. Once all those things are done, you're not done with safety yet. Once those things are done, now you're entering the car. If you're alone, I would say you enter and sit behind the driver. That way there's a little bit of a blind spot. The driver can't try to surprise you. It's going to be very difficult for them to come around if the driver, in fact, is a bad guy. Now, for the driver, one of the things that they can do for safety is obviously get yourself a little camera system where you actually have it pretty much in plain sight, almost like they do for security in any building. I think that once people see a camera, they're more hesitant to actually perpetrate some crime against the driver. But going back to the passenger, some of the other things that they can do that's very, really simple is, this is where technology comes in. They can literally open up Google Maps and punch in a destination and mimic the trip that you're taking. That way, if it deviates, it'll show differently on your phone. You could also text friends and family and let them know where you are, what car you're taking, and they can actually follow you through technology as well. And that's something that I think is very important. But more importantly is making sure that you verify who the driver is. The company does provide for descriptors on the vehicle. We know of that college student that unfortunately got into the car, just assumed that was the driver, and then took off, never to be seen again. And those are unfortunate incidents, but believe it or not, a lot of these incidents can be avoided with common sense. Also, travel with friends. Try not to travel alone. If you do travel alone, you're going to sit behind a driver, and that's it. If you are traveling with others, just watch out for each other. And if you say any legitimate driver, if you feel uncomfortable and you see that they're going off course, maybe a little bit too much, it's okay to say, listen, drop me off here. And if they're a legitimate driver, obviously they're going to drop you off. They might give you a bad rating, but that's okay. You can deal with that. You can explain it to the company. But if you don't feel comfortable, get out of the car as soon as you can.
All right. Well, we thank you so much, Lieutenant Jim Perez with the Fairfield Police Department, who's also our crime prevention expert with this edition of Crime on the Minds. We thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
All right. Thank you, Lieutenant. An Uber driver was stabbed in the hand by his passenger early Sunday morning right here in Bridgeport. He had a severe laceration to his hand. He was in critical condition because of blood loss. This whole Uber thing, I know people have to make a living. I get it. But, it's dangerous for the driver. It's dangerous for the passenger. Both the driver and the passenger, they've got to be on the same page. You've got to make sure exactly who you're picking up, who your driver is. You know, I told you before, I mean, I've told this story before on the air very quickly. I came out here onto Fairfield Avenue. I got a phone call. I pulled over under the thruway bridge. I was talking on the phone, and some dude just got in the car. He just got in the car.
I've never heard this story.
Oh, no? I was sitting there. I was on the telephone, on the cell phone. And all of a sudden, he just opened the door and he got in the back seat, closed the door. And I'm not ashamed to tell you, I screamed like a little schoolgirl.
I would, too.
I was screaming. I was yelling. I used the F word several times.
Right.
Get out of here. Who do you think you are? What's going on? I really thought he was going to kill me.
Right.
And I think I scared him. Because he was like, dude, I'm sorry. I thought you were the Uber driver. I'm sorry. And he got out, he slammed the door, and he ran away.
Oh, my God.
But for the moment, you just don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, you really don't. And I wonder how many times that has happened. I mean, what happened? Wasn't there not too long ago?
In the South, yeah. I think North Carolina or Virginia, something like that, where the college student got into the wrong car and then she was killed.
Yeah. I mean, it's very, very sad. Now, I'm not saying that the Uber thing is a bad thing, but both the driver and the people that are calling these cars, man, you better check it out and make sure you're doing the right thing and getting in the right car. And, you know, that the if you're driving, make sure your passenger isn't a couple of sandwiches short of a picnic. I know that's easier said than done, but good God.
Well, I think, Tony, the thing that I think shocks me is people can compare it all the time to taxis. But if you've ever been in a New York City taxi, notice there's always a barrier between the driver and the back seat. And the problem with Uber is the fact that it is your own car. You are volunteer, you know, you're with the company, so you're getting paid, but it's your car, so there's no barriers. And I'm surprised with how well Uber or Lyft, how well they do, that they don't provide cars. I mean, at this point, this is a multi-million, maybe billion-dollar company. This this idea is amazing across the country. People are on board with it. It's saving people money for rides, but it's also giving people a lot of money to be the drivers. I mean, great concept, but you're just asking for trouble when there is no protection. There is no background check. You don't know who you're picking up. You could be picking up a convicted felon for all you know. You know what I'm saying? And you don't know who's driving the cars. This could be somebody who's retired and has a record. I don't know. I'm just saying that, or maybe you just are a little loony. Who knows? But the fact of the matter is there is literally nothing protecting you when you get in the car. You also don't know as a rider if you're, you know, what kind of car you're in. I've gotten in cars before, just my own friends' cars, and they forget that the child lock is on. And I can't get out of the car, and it's my own friend, but you don't know what car you're getting into. And as a driver, you don't know who's getting into your car, if they have something in their bag. What if they have a gun in their bag? I mean, there's just so many factors in the world we live in today that I'm surprised that the company hasn't done more. Between deaths, stabbings, disappearance. I mean, right now, there's an investigation in Utah. There's a girl that's been missing for a week who got into, I think, a Lyft car and hasn't been seen ever since. This constantly happens on both sides. It's not just the drivers or the passengers.
Or at least set up that car so it does have a barrier.
Correct.
I'm going to work for Uber. Here's my car. Set it up. Put that barrier in
there. Pay for that.
I agree.
Is we all went to college together, so I roomed with this girl, and we've known each other for 10 years. She's known my husband actually a little bit longer than even I have. So her parents, they know my husband very well, and her now husband and Derek also know each other, but he was completely disregarded, was like, what did I do? Why am I being treated this way? It was brutal. And so when I turned around at dinner and I said, I'm going to throw up, I can't sit here for another minute, he's like, all right, let's go. Yeah. So we just got up and we just left. And that's what happened, Tony. We never looked back, and we probably never will. So
good for you. I told you.
I know.
And tell him the bride's name. What is her first name?
Patience.
Yes, patience was very
was
impatient.
Not a virtue this weekend.
Yeah, not at all. All right, we've got 5:41 here at WICC 600. Yeah, we do have a little bit of sunshine, but I think that's going to go away later. We'll see. It's going to be warm and humid today. Highs into the 80s. It's Tony and Melissa in the morning on a Monday.
WICC 600 helps your family save more, spend less, and avoid ripoffs every afternoon with WICC 600 and Clark Howard.
The Port Jeff Ferry presents the sounds of your instant vacation.
It's the instant vacation for you, your family, and your car. The instant you drive or walk on board the Port Jeff Ferry, relax and unwind. Of course, you could drive around to Long Island and discover the joys of traffic and detours. And then the kids in the back seat with those little questions.
Are we there yet?
And, of course, those little side trips.
I have to go to the bathroom.
And those little medical issues.
I have a headache. My tummy hurts.
When you're traveling to and from Long Island this summer, remember, it's the instant vacation aboard the Port Jeff Ferry, where all kids 12 and under with parent or guardian ride free. So if you're tired of hearing this...
Timmy's looking at me.
Maybe it's time to hear things like this.
Look, there's a lighthouse.
The Port Jeff Ferry, your instant vacation. When it comes to summer fun, don't miss the boat.
Dear John, I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is serious, and I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to when you checked on me? I don't want to leave. But remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get yours to a healthy range today. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Congressman Jim Himes joins Tony and Melissa in the morning, Fridays on WICC 600.
Coming up on 5:43 now here at WACC 600, it's Tony and Melissa in the morning. We are looking at a warm day today. It's going to be humid, so be prepared for that, but it's going to feel real good. Increasing cloudiness, highs of 85. Then tonight, cloudy with showers developing around midnight. Look for patchy fog, lows of 70. Tomorrow, occasional showers and thunderstorms. It'll be cooler. We'll have a high near 75. Tomorrow night, showers and thunderstorms with a low of 65. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high of 85. Thursday, partly sunny, highs of 85. Friday, mostly sunny and warm, highs of around 85. And we've got another award-winning weekend coming your way. Bill's going to tell you a little bit more about that when we go to the Weather Center. Right now, we stand at 64 degrees. You've got plenty of sunshine at this point. Anyway, here from WACC 600. Coming up next, Melissa will have an information update for you. Everything you need to know, she's got it.
WICC News Team 600, up to the minute update.
Good morning. It is now 5:43. You're listening to WICC 600. I do have an update for everybody this morning because I thought the timing of this, I thought was very ironic. And Tony, I don't know if you think that this is really going to make a big difference, but a woman at Dodger Stadium is recovering this morning after being smacked in the head by a foul ball during yesterday's game. Los Angeles's Cody Bellinger hit that ball during the first inning, and the line drive, of course, went right to the young woman, and she was just of course in the wrong spot. Apparently she was rushed to the hospital after kind of sitting there. She was pretty responsive. She had ice, but after about 15 minutes it was just unbearable and she needed to go to the hospital. Now, we reported last week that the Chicago White Sox and apparently also the Washington Nationals just announced they will be extending their netting to the foul ball posts, those poles there. And we've talked about in the past that up until Chicago announced that they were going to do this, this was not even really something that other teams had really wanted to do because I guess it obstructs, you know, vision and being able to see the game very clearly. But I'm wondering, Tony, how many times do we watch this happen before all teams get on board and just stop it already?
Well, here's the problem, if you ask me. This is a problem for Major League Baseball. They can't leave it up to the individual teams, because the individual teams, they're going to not do it at all, or they're going to extend the netting to a certain spot. You know, everybody should be protected as best as you can. And what they're doing is they're leaving it up to the team. So The Dodgers, they're going to do it their way, but the White Sox are going to do it their way. And it can't be done like that, I think. I think the commissioner and Major League Baseball have to get involved and say, hey, look, this is what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. And everybody just does it. No choice.
I agree. And I thought this was what was crazy about this was I could remember very vaguely that there was an incident last summer. And then I looked it up and there was. A woman died last August because she was hit in the head by a foul ball at Dodger Stadium. And I thought, how many times are you going to let, how is that even okay that somebody died from that?
I know.
I couldn't remember if it was Dodger, but it was in fact. And I thought, you know, if this isn't enough for you to extend the netting to the foul poles, I don't know what will be. I don't know.
I'm telling you right now, people are getting hurt. So, mm-hmm. And the thing is, Major League Baseball is covered because on the ticket, They say that they're not responsible.
Right.
You know, if you're injured or whatever.
It's like a risk you're taking.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's a risk that you're taking. But I don't know why they would want to take that risk. You know, I mean, they spend millions and millions of dollars on things when it comes to the stadium. Why not the netting? I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either. And it's like, you know, how many times do we watch people get hurt before we think, oh, maybe this is a good idea? But I think you're right. You just have to get the MLB commissioner to step in and just say, you know what, mm-hmm. across the board, this is what we're doing.
Yep.
Done. Period. Moving on.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens. Right now, let's check on the roads and see what's going on there. Kelly Quinn has our traffic update.
Nothing going on yet. We're still in good shape on 95. A few cars traveling south out of Bridgeport. That's it. We have a good trip everywhere else, even north of the parkway. Here's the latest look at the forecast from our chief meteorologist, Bill Jackelman, and the WICC 600 Connecticut Weather.
Well, thanks a lot, Kelly. We have a cloud-free sky in many locations, but that's going to change today, as we not only pick up moisture in the upper atmosphere, but also at the ground. So increasing cloudiness today. It'll become more humid here at the ground. Temperatures warming up 80 to 85. Mostly cloudy. Some showers developing around midnight tonight. Some patchy fog, 65 to 70. Tomorrow, occasional showers. Thunderstorms, cooler, 75. Mostly sunny, low 80s on Wednesday. Thursday, partly sunny with a high of 85 degrees. If you want to get the most money when selling your home, but you don't want your home on the market longer than it needs to be, Candlewood Realty has the best marketing team. Get your home sold fast and for the most money. Call for a free consultation. Candlewood Realty, 860-799-5300. We have 62 degrees and mostly clear skies. I'm Chief Meteorologist Bill Jackelman of WICC 600.
Yeah, Bill, looking at your weather forecast, summer is finally setting in. I can feel it already in my bones.
Just needed that calendar to say it, I guess, right? And then Mother Nature goes, oh, I got to get with the program here. Turn up the thermostat.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, feels good. Thank you so much there, Bill. That's Bill Jackelman, our Chief Meteorologist here at WICC 600, where it is 548. Let's take a look at our bad decisions for today. There's a 34-year-old woman by the name of Stacy Rupp. She's from Phoenix, Arizona. On Wednesday night, she dropped her 9-year-old son off at McDonald's in Peoria, Arizona, and left. The employees eventually realized that the kid was there all alone, so they called police. They say the boy wasn't even that upset because when his mom drops him off like this, quote, she always comes back. And she did come back. The cops confronted her, and eventually she admitted she'd left them there while she went gambling at a casino. And she couldn't take him along because, quote, he drives me crazy. She was arrested for child abuse and endangerment. Ma'am, you got to do what my mom always did. You know, we stayed home, and, you know, she called her bookie Louis the Lip, and she placed her bets that way. You know, that's what a good parent does.
That's what a good parent does. I love how it's like, I'm not going to bring him because he's a real pain. No, how about it's completely inappropriate? But no, not that. It's just that he just drives me crazy.
Oh, my gosh. Very, very funny. People are so ridiculous. It's 549 here at WACC. It's all brought to you this morning by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 488, involved in supporting the community. Hey, make a good decision when you hire an electrician. Visit IBEWlocal488.org. We've got 550. Good morning.
Hi, I'm Peter Carroll from the International.
Yesterday was Old Timers Day at Yankee Stadium, and hey, we all watched it on television, but my good friend Storman Norman from Weeby 108 is in the studio here. He went down there live. You took your son down there?
Yeah, my son Will, and boy, I never saw an old-timers game.
Right.
And, you know, the emotion of seeing all of them being walked out onto the field was phenomenal. It was so great.
Yeah.
Don Larson there, he came out, you know. But the highlight, I think, of everybody there, Mariano come walking out of the dugout. And then he decides, you know, he's going to pitch. So he's pitching to Paul O'Neill. You never would have imagined that in a million years, that Mariano and Paul O'Neill would be against each other. And then Mariano played center field for a while, and then he got up and hit Mariano. He got an inside-the-park home run. Boom, 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 boom. And it was the happiest thing. I've never seen the guy so happy.
Yeah, it's cool. He you know, he looks like he still could pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. He could have pitched better than Hap did yesterday. Yeah. That was second game was horrible, but the first game was great. But everybody loved it. You know, the standing ovations for the old players, just nothing like it. Even though it's the new stadium, you still feel it, you know.
Sure, sure.
You got a chance to see that.
And a couple of real old-timers. I mean, like you said, Don
Larson. Yeah, Don Larson was there. Whitey Ford couldn't make it, but he would have been there. The widows' wives, mm-hmm. the widows of Munson and Bobby Mercer, who was, of course, on the network for a long time. It was great.
And Dr. Bobby Brown.
Bobby Brown was there.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's one of those things that if you ever have a chance to see an old-timers game, I would say, you know, just go down. We took the train.
Yeah, right
you
there.
So, you go to Fairfield, boom, you're at Yankee Stadium.
Sure. Now, do you remember when we were kids and you'd watch old-timers day on TV, there was nothing more thrilling to see Mickey Mantle come out of the dugout, or to watch
Yogi Berra, it's like whoa.
Yeah, there was nothing like it, and I guess the guys like your son now they get that same feeling.
He was thrilled to see, you know, Giambi was up there to Giambino. Johnny Damon was, you know, somebody to my son's age was like, wow, that's Johnny Damon.
Sure.
And I'm just looking over there and I'm seeing like, wow. You know, there's Don Larson. He walked out, they wheeled him out, and then he got up on a walker, and we all stood up and just cheered. Yeah. It was, you know, heartfelt.
And it's pretty easy to get in and out of the stadium these days.
Yeah. I had never taken the train, the Yankee Clipper, down before, but it was, you know, no muss, no fuss. You got to walk up a few flights of stairs, but
That's all right.
The stadium's gorgeous.
Sure. Sure, absolutely.
And I think everybody got a sunburn from yesterday because we didn't expect to be in the sun all day, but it was great.
And there's nothing like baseball in the afternoon. Nothing like it.
Yeah.
Nothing like it. Well, that's great. I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah, it was a blast.
Yeah, that's a great father-son thing to do.
Never forget it. It's one of those things that, you know, I'm just happy about.
Absolutely. That's great. Terrific.
Thanks, Tony. Thank you so much,
Storm and Norman.
Bye.
There you go. And, of course, Norman down there at Old Timers Day. That's great. Taking his son down there and kind of connecting with each other. That's a beautiful. Because fathers and sons can always connect when it comes to baseball. I used to drive my father crazy. I never played baseball, but I used to drive him crazy with questions and wanting to know about this guy and about that guy and everything like that. And my dad was a pretty good baseball buff, mm-hmm. you know. So there's nothing like baseball for a father and son.
For the record, though, fathers and daughters connect over pretty well themselves.
I bet you they do.
I was pretty big. Well, only because my brother played baseball. We obviously were diehard Yankee fans, but I was my brother's bat girl all through Little League. I traveled with my brother on all of his travel seasons when he'd go to Oklahoma or Texas or Florida, and my dad always would say, you know, hun, do you want to go, you know, to my mom? And my mom's like, I got all these kids. And I'd say, my dad, I'll go with you. And I never missed a tournament. The school would call my mom and be like, why is this kid out again? She's like, well, she's off with her brother and her dad. So I think baseball is one of those pastimes that it just doesn't matter. It's so awesome. So
that's right. Families can agree on it. That's for mm-hmm. sure. Let's take a look at what happened on this date in history. 72 years ago, 1947, search and rescue pilot Kenneth Arnold of Boise, Idaho, he says he spotted 9 UFOs over Mount Rainier in Washington. He described their flight patterns as similar to a saucer skipping across water. So newspaper reporters used the words flying saucers for the very first time. Interesting. 25 years ago, 1994, I think, anyway, it's one of the best movies ever. I love it. Wyatt Earp was released with Kevin Costner. And the reason why I bring this up is that every time it's on, and you know, you get these spurts where Wyatt Earp is on television like 3 times a day. Okay.
Yeah.
And my wife gets so mad at me because no matter where the movie is, no matter where it is, if I stop on it, I'm going to sit there and watch it for the rest of the day.
It's like
a 4-hour epic.
Yeah, no, it's long.
It is. It's really long, but it's just one of my favorites. I just love it so very, very much. 1994, also 25 years ago today. I can't believe it's 25 years ago. The Lion King mm-hmm. was released. It later earned Elton John an Oscar for Best Original Song for Can You Feel the Love Tonight? And, of course, they're doing a live-action one. And Beyoncé is going to sing the theme for the live-action remake, which hits theaters on July the 19th. Now, if I had a dollar for every time I saw that cartoon, I could have retired four times mm-hmm. over. We saw it so many times in the theater. Mm-hmm. Then it was released on VHS, and that's all the kids wanted to watch.
Yep.
And it was you would watch it like three times a day in the house. It was amazing.
Is it weird that I still watch it at least three times a week?
Well, now, you've got kids now. He's going to want to watch
it. He's sleeping. It's during his nap time. I have it on while I do my dishes. Is that weird? Is that? I don't think it's weird. Come on.
I remember we were sitting in the theater for the very first time. The theme song came on, and I remember I jumped out of my seat. It was so loud. Yeah, you know?
It's funny you say that, Tony, because my parents, my mom and my grandmother, my graham cracker, they brought my older brother and I to New York City, and we went into the theater, and the same thing. My mom said she could still feel her heart skip a beat when you heard that first boom.
Yeah.
And we were little kids, so I don't really remember because I was only four or five when we went to see it, but my mom and my graham cracker still talk about it to this day. That boom was something that they've never experienced.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Now, the live-action one, I know my two sons, who are 30 and pushing 30, they're jacked for it. They can't wait for it to come out. And they had the good sense to bring back James Earl Jones as the voice of Mufasa.
If you didn't, it would be a shame. It's the same thing we were talking about with Mr. Potato Head. If they didn't find clippings to put together, it would be a shame. If they didn't have James Earl Jones, it'd be ruined.
It would lose a lot. It really, really would. That's right. 25 years ago, The Lion King was released. I still jump out of my seat.
And now, Random Knowledge with Tony and Melissa on WICC 600.
All right. For example, did you know that peaches and nectarines are the exact same fruit? Nectarines just have a recessive gene that keeps them from being fuzzy. So they're not exactly the same.
Right. They're the blue-eyed child of the fruit family, I guess. They're the recessive gene. The more common is the peach, but I guess the...
Okay.
I didn't know that. I'm just making that up, Tony. I have no idea. I had no idea. No, I have no idea. Kung Fu isn't just a term for Chinese martial arts. It refers to anything that takes time, patience, and energy to study and learn. So math is kung fu?
I guess so. I just thought it was a bunch of guys running around a gym. Yeah. I shoo ya!
Yeah. No, it's beyond that. Anything that takes effort is kung fu. I like it.
I like listening to this show. If you're listening to this show, it takes effort, so you're practicing kung
fu. Amen to that, brother.
Absolutely. There you go. All right. Only two of the nine Jersey Shore cast members were actually from New Jersey. Sammy and that girl, Dina, who was added in the later seasons. The rest of the cast
are a bunch of fakes.
Yeah, they're from New York, except Paulie D. He was from Rhode Island.
Also, Tone, another thing that used to grind my gears about this, there's only one in that entire group that's an actual Italian, and that was Vinny. They all claim they're all, we're Italian Guido, yada, yada, yada. Only one is an actual Italian.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
No, the situation wasn't Italian?
No, he's not Italian.
Really?
Nope, the only one who is an actual Italian is Vinny.
Snooki wasn't Italian?
No.
Wow.
Don't insult Italy. Come on now. No.
Sheesh.
No.
Wow.
I know.
Let the air out of my tires.
Blow my mind.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's another edition of Random Knowledge. Toy Story 4 won the box office this weekend with a huge $118 million take, and yet it was somehow still a bit of a disappointment for Pixar heading into the weekend. It seemed headed for $140 to $150 million in their opening, but things started to slow down there at the end. So Pixar and Disney, they were a little disappointed with $118 million. Are you kidding me?
That's really awful. You should be super ashamed. Walk away now.
And what? If you just adjust for inflation, it fell below what Toy Story 3 did about 9 years ago. But my God, it's such a strong franchise. And
exactly.
Everybody loves it. The kids love it. The adults love it. And it makes money no matter what it does. But you know, they're not satisfied.
Yeah, because they shoot for the moon. And to be fair, Disney does have that reputation. And especially, we talked about that, Tony, when you start to go to a sequel,
And on and on. I mean, we're going on now. That was the fourth movie that Toy Story has now capitalized on. And I'm sure they get some criticism. Hey, how many times are you going to do this? How many times can you use this storyline? And I'm sure they, no matter how well it sounds like to the normal person, they're always going to have a few haters that think, oh, see, it wasn't worth it. Bet you it wasn't worth your money to do that. And I'm sure that's what they're addressing.
I have never been disappointed by a Toy Story movie.
Me neither.
Never went to the theater to see it. But every time they came on... video or whatever you call it now these days. Always loved them. All these movies are fantastic. I don't care what anybody. And you know something? Anything that Tom Hanks touches turns to gold.
It's gold.
So
mm-hmm.
there you go. The other thing that I found, not that I'm surprised by it, but let me ask you this. Madonna has the number one album in the country. Her new album, Madam X, sold 95,000 copies this week. She was number one. Number two was Bruce Springsteen with his new album, one called Western Stars. That sold 66,000 copies. And I think it's great. I think it's great because everybody else on the list, except for the Jonas Brothers, I never heard of them. But Madonna, I never hear any new music on radio.
I was just going to say, I did not expect you to say Madonna or Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
I haven't heard any of their new music.
Neither. They don't play any of their new music, but yet... The albums, if that's what you call them these days, CDs, whatever it is, it moves. They move. People are buying them. She is number one in the country right now.
Huh. I'm wondering, Tony, if it's because they have all these different apps now where it's like, oh, we saw your playlist. You love Madonna? Here, listen to her new songs. Because I know we have Spotify, which we've talked about before. And my husband and I, we're big Luke Combs fans. We love Luke Combs. He's a country artist. He's phenomenal. He's just amazing. And he's only growing and growing more. And we didn't know that he even released new music, and we're big fans, until Spotify said, oh, Luke Combs just came out with a new album two weeks ago. Or, you know, this was 2 weeks ago when they told us. And they said, here, why don't you listen to some of them? And, of course, my husband now loves specifically one of these songs that's about a father and a son, and he plays it all the time. But we wouldn't have even known. It's not like any of this comes up on the radio. You don't hear nobody... mostly knows about Luke Combs unless you follow him, but we didn't even know he had new music until Spotify let us know about it. So I'm wondering if that's how people find out, oh, we see that you follow Madonna, here's her new album,
well,
here's some new songs.
Everything is different now. You know, everything is different. 30 years ago, 35 years ago, there was a big buildup. Every time a big star had an album coming out, there was a big, big buildup. There was a 45, as they used to call them, would come out. They'd play that on the radio weeks before the record came out. The anticipation would build. You would be, like, so excited. You'd tremble. You couldn't wait to go down to the store to buy it, and you'd play it to death for weeks and weeks and weeks. Now you're absolutely right. It's like it's a non-event. It's a non-event
these days.
I didn't
know they were creating albums anymore.
Well,
you know what I mean?
They do. I mean, you could get them on vinyl and all of that. I mean, most people download them.
No, but I mean, Madonna. I didn't even know she was still making albums.
Oh, yeah, no. This is her ninth chart topper in her
career.
That's
amazing.
She's still making music, you know. And, I don't know. I never really paid all that much attention. A greatest hits from Madonna is fine with me.
Right.
But, I mean, it's just not like it used to be. It's not a big event like it used to be when somebody like Madonna would put out a record. You know,
we were kids, Tony, it was the same thing. We always would be very excited when, gosh, elementary school, middle school, when, of course, I know we kind of bring up the same bands. Your generation was one thing, our generation was another. But obviously the boy bands were a big deal when we were kids. And I can remember when, especially when we were in elementary school, when Backstreet Boys came out with their new album. But you didn't know what was on the CD. You had to go get the CD because the radio station would say, and, you know, we're going to release, you know, one of their many, you know, new songs. And they would only play that song, you know, a week or two before the CDs came out. And you were so amped on it that you had to go buy the CD. Even if you didn't like it, you had to go and get it if you wanted to hear the rest of what they had, because that was your only option, was to have a CD or vinyl.
And things have switched now. There was a time where the songwriter and the artists would make money when the album, if you will, would sell.
Right.
Now they're not selling like they used to sell.
Mm-hmm.
So now they go on the road. That's how they're making their money is
going
the concerts.
On tour. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like Madonna, whatever she's making on this album, it's pittance as compared to what she's making
if she's in person
when she hits the road. So it's all changed around now these days. But hey, God bless her. She's number one again at the age of 60. Not bad.